What is up, my brother?
Man, so as you know, I work with kids in the inner city, and
Correct.
we actually took them out to, or we didn't take them all out, but we had the opportunity to take a couple participants, is what we call them, out with us to the Bucks game when they played the Nuggets just this past Thursday. So
Hey, that's dope.
I was able to take three of my participants with me, and they were all allowed to take a plus one with them.
Okay.
So six kids in general that came with me, or that I chaperoned, quote unquote, so to say. And long story short, we had a hell of a time. It was a great game. Bucks won. And later that night, as I was texting my participants, just checking up on them, one of them texted me like, "Yeah, that was one of the greatest nights of my life." And it was
Oh
just
yeah.
like, damn, it really puts things into perspective. You really never know how much you're actually helping somebody out.
Preach.
And it could be the littlest thing. It could be nothing to you. The smallest gesture, like taking some kids out to a Bucks game. We got decent seats. We sat in the level 100 area. But I guess it just never clicked to me that sometimes, like, these kids, they dream of going to basketball games and having good seats, getting out of the nosebleeds. And for me to kind of provide that opportunity for these kids, like, man, that means the world to me. So, I've been kind of riding on that high for a little bit.
As you should. You should.
Yeah, man. So, man, I love my little kiddos.
That's what's up, man. I like what you say about little things going a long way for people. You never know. I am a firm believer in paying it forward. I'm a firm believer in little gestures, kind words, just please and thank you, manners, all that shit. Just the surprise that some women give me when I hold a door open for them is like, you would think it's mind blowing for them. So, like, you're right. Little things like that can make somebody's day or fulfill a dream that you didn't even know they had. So that's dope that you're able to do that on a regular basis and, really make a positive impact on the young fellas out there.
Yeah, man, that was, man, one of the rare times. I don't know if this has ever happened before. Obviously, this is like first year into this job, so I don't know. But
Yeah.
I hope we get more of this shit because, who doesn't want to go see a Bucks game?
Shit, I definitely want to go see.
Yeah, it's just a vibe.
Hell yeah. The fire service, great. No matter where you sit, it's a great seat. So, fuck yeah.
Yeah,
I'm all about that.
that's pretty much that's really what I've been on. Other than that, I mean, I new couches came in. I put them together yesterday.
Hey, all right. It's coming together now.
Yeah, I got a little Persian rug.
The Persian rug. Nice
Yeah,
touch.
man. You know what I'm saying? I'd just be chilling, man.
Oh, I'm all about the chilling. You know me. That's my
Yeah.
favorite thing to do is chill. I feel like this time of year when it's like this like fake spring shit, it's like 40, 50, but it's still muddy and rainy and shit. Like this is when I feel like I start coming out of hibernation a little bit. I looked in the mirror this morning. I was like, God damn, like when's the last time I had some self-care, shave some shit and all sorts of things like that. So I'm feeling a little more energetic these days, but I still be on my dash all the time. Just that's what I was telling you earlier. If I don't even have plans for weekend, I will literally sit on my couch and not move the whole time and just fucking chill out.
Hey, man. And well, for me, it's enjoying my rent.
Exactly. I enjoy my mortgage. Like,
Exactly.
fuck,
Yeah.
man. Favorite things. Enjoy my mortgage, minding my business, and chilling out.
Yes, sir.
What's all about? Last week we didn't really do shit at all. I mean, I got some dinner with some friends. That was a nice time. And Sydney was part of a concert. It was a citywide with all the schools involved, so not directly through her school, but kind of a volunteer program. And they had like I don't even know maybe 200, 300 kids up there, and it was crazy. She did a fantastic job, and about 5, 6 songs and 30 minutes. And we had to normalize 5 p.m. concerts. Fucking love that because I'm so used to these like, oh, we have this concert for the third graders. It's at 7 p.m. on a Thursday. You're like, fuck, man, like I gotta plan my whole shit around that. But like a 5 o'clock on a Saturday, your day's
That's
not
cool.
completely toasted, So
Yeah, you can go and have a drink afterwards, and I have to
exactly.
worry about getting the kids to bed right away.
Oh, we did that before and after. So yes, you're exactly
That
right. Yes. You make a Saturday, like a fun day out of it that is not always centered around just the one thing. So that was really nice, Other than that, fucking kicking it. But I mean, like I said, when I kick it, I like to use TikTok in my spare time and just little things. I don't ever really follow anybody. I never fucking post. And I just like watching just anything that makes me laugh, someone getting hurt, or something I relate to, something that brings me joy. And I decided that I think I should be able to share at least one a week with you and the show, just so you guys know what kind of humor I have, the kind of thought-provoking things I like to talk about, and little things that tickle my fancy. So I'd like to show you, if you don't mind, the first edition of Siege's Tick of the Week.
Time to make someone 1% more famous. It's the tick of the week.
Oof, let's get it. I'm ready for this.
This one's a funny one, and we're gonna share it now. This one comes to us from Agent PHE, so I'm assuming it's Agent Fee, but he did this video on when wasps decide to build a nest on your house.
How you doing? Hey, listen, me and a couple of fellas, we were flying by. We saw your balcony out here. Looks really good. Real prime real estate. Looks like you're shaded for most of the day. We like that. We like the shade. We're going to move in out here. You got a problem with that? Of course you don't. Listen, we're going to stay out of your way. If you stay out of ours, we won't have any problems. You understand?
Yes.
Good. You understand? We understand each other. Oh, and listen, I need you to keep the noise down. I think I heard you sneeze or something like that earlier. I don't like sudden noise. Sudden noise makes me want to do bad things. I don't like doing bad things. I'm a good guy. Keep me want to do good things are going to happen. Make me want to do bad things are going to happen. You understand? I mean, okay, good.
He dipped out.
Oh, one more thing. Don't you ever come out here without announcing yourself first. If we ever catch you in our front yard and you didn't announce yourself, I really wish you hadn't done that. Nice to meet you.
Because it do be like that sometimes, man. I got
It
to deal with these
do.
motherfucking wasps every summer.
And when they sting you, they don't stop stinging you.
Nope. It's personal. It's from the jump. It's on site.
On
And
site.
they remember you too. If you did one thing 3 days ago, they're still looking for you.
Zoom,
They
zoom, 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 and you're done.
It's over.
Poison
I
sting,
bet
poison sting.
we've been in this house for like 7 years, bro, and every year, I swear, the wasps or bees or yellow jackets, whatever, are always building some shit either in my front yard, under a tree, on my deck. It's always some hive I have to deal with every single year. So I
How do you
felt
normally
that.
deal with them?
Oh man. One time I was mowing my lawn and I literally stepped on a nest that was underground of ground bees. That motherfucker sucked. They literally stung me in the bottom of my foot. And my dumb ass had a crock on because I was just being stupid. Fucking got through the crock and just stung me right in the back of my heel and shit. I fucking ran to the house. So that shit involved, what the fuck did I do? I waited until nighttime and then found this foamer that you can has a long straw that you kind of put into the crack of the nest and just fucking flood those motherfuckers with just foam that kills everything and hardens everything and kills the entire nest. That shit worked. But it was daunting to say the least, because there's always a guard out there looking around for shit like that. So I was able to handle that one. Another one was built into the stone wall, retaining wall by my garbages. So every time I went out to take garbage out, fucking bees. I'm like, what the fuck? That one, I had a guy come out to take care of that shit.
Damn.
Yeah, that's because that was maybe 3 feet of nest they had built in that wall over time. So I was like, what the hell is going on? Why is it
Wait,
always
wait,
my
wait.
yard?
You said what?
They built in like a colony in this retaining wall. So it had to be like a big chunk of it that was nothing but beehives on the inside. So the guy had to take out the stonework. I don't know what the fuck he did. I wasn't even watching him at that point, but he took out some of the stones and put some shit in there that kind of killed the entire hive down to the root. So I was like, that was fucking crazy. We share the property line with the people next to us, and we both had to deal with that.
Damn.
Yeah, that's personal out here, man. I don't know what the fuck's the problem. They built one on my back deck too, right behind all my grill shit, right underneath the woodwork. I was like, that's not even
The
safe. Right. So I don't know, but fuck bees. Y'all can say save the bees all you want. I don't give a fuck. They're always in my business. So fuck bees.
Well, we need their honey, man.
Man, wasps don't make honey.
Well, bees do.
Keep the little bumblebees. They don't bother me, but them wasps and the yellow jackets,
Yeah, fuck
fucking,
them.
those things are nasty, man. Fuck all that shit. Miss me with that shit. That's why I don't like staying outside. That's why I hate summer. It's not because of the
Yo,
heat
see
necessarily, it's because of the bees.
that's a suburban thing, because like in the
For
city,
real?
like it, I don't know, we don't really, it's mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes are bad too, yeah. But out here, man, The bees take over. It's too much. It's not enough melanin to counteract the pollen. It doesn't help that I smell like cocoa butter every fucking day, too. So,
Yeah, they smell that sweetness and they come. Like, oh, the melanated one. Yep. Dark skin.
I'm a fucking target, man. I'm a target. But beauty is pain. So I'm not going to stop the cocoa butter just to avoid the bees. I'm just going to.
No. Never that.
No, that's never the answer.
You got to use more.
Yeah, I try, but then it's like I have to reapply because I sweat the shit off easily, too. And then that's sunscreen, and then it's bug spray. And at that point, I'm just covered in chemicals. And it's like, what's the point?
Ugh.
Yeah, it's a tough game.
I never use bug spray.
Okay, now see, you also said you never use sunscreen either, right?
Never.
So you don't use just anything?
No.
No.
Barely use lotion.
I can't even wrap my head around that. You've never gone to the woods and used bug spray to keep the mosquitoes off you?
I mean, I have, but I don't remember the last time I've used bug spray.
It's not like, see, for me, that's like thought number one if I'm going outside is where's my bug spray? I'm looking at it right now. It's over my mini fridge. It's always ready at the fucking door.
I know exactly where that is.
Exactly. It is right by the exit. So there's no mistake. If I see something on my deck, it's on site. But I keep the pistol loaded.
It's hold on. I'm going to deal with you.
Right. Just don't move. Don't you move. I keep the eye on it.
And then you go outside.
I just reach back for it and then take it out. Like, I don't play. I cook back there. There's no bees allowed.
That's true. That's true. You do cook back there.
Fucking up the process. That's okay. That was my tick of the week. Glad you enjoyed it. There'll be many more to come. But we got NBA on the brain tonight. As you see, I got a new shirt.
Hey, Dream Team.
That's 92 Dream Team. Fuck it. I don't even remember buying it. It's a TikTok buy. Definitely a late night one. It arrived today and I said, I gotta stop drinking and TikToking. I don't even remember even buying this shit, but it's dope. I like it. Pretty clean.
It is dope. That's a dope shirt.
Thank you. We'll get into all that. I think we got some UFC, we got some boxing, we got lots of good shit to get into. I think we should start the show. What do you think?
Hey, Kalina.
Yo.
Play the fucking music. Stop being fucking lazy and do your fucking job.
You got it. And after that, I'm going to add 6 dozen eggs to your Instacart. Where we're headed, no one knows. But if you need some friends, rely on the Fake Bunch.
This is the Bank Bro Show. Hello. Welcome back. My name is Siege. That guy's Rizzy. That girl's Kalina. Hope you guys are enjoying March. We are here again. Kind of a fake spring. Hopefully it's a real spring soon. Wife's birthday is coming up. St. Patrick's Day. Time to drink and be merry because maybe winter is finally done. And we're going to provide a little heat for you here today. Like I said, lots of fighting going on that we're going to get into and finish up with some NBA. There was a big fight that I know you want to get into right away. And that was between Gervonta Tank Davis, 30-0, 28 knockouts, versus Lamont Roach, 25-1-1, 10 knockouts for the WBA lightweight world title. So I know this is like, Gervonta, that's your guy. We've been talking about his career for a while now. And Roach, everyone should know Roach, big name in the lightweight division as well. How did this go for you? I know there's some controversy at the end as well that you can get into, but let me hear your notes, sir. How did you feel about the fight?
Overall, I thought this was one of the best fights this year, up there with that Bivol and Artur Beterbiev fight as one of the best fights this year. Very competitive. Lamont Roach made it known from the jump. This shit was not going to be sweet for Tank, and this is going to be different from any other fight that he's ever had. That being said, we just got to jump straight into it, man. You mentioned it, controversy. Look, I'm going to shoot this shit straight. This was some bullshit. Lamont Roach fucking beat Tank. Lamont Roach beat Tank. Yes, you heard that correct.
Yep.
In the 9th round, Gervonta Tank Davis got hit with a jab. And then he started squinting. And he took a voluntary knee. When you take a voluntary knee, that's an automatic 8 count. no matter what the situation is, you took a knee that's almost like a submission. That right there should have been 2 points for Roach on the scorecards. And obviously, we all know right now, as you're listening to this, that this was a majority draw. And one fucking scorekeeper actually scored the fight for Tank.
Yeah, I saw that. What the fuck?
If you watch the fight, Lamont Roach was the one taking control of the center of the ring. He was the one that was more active, throwing more punches, landing the more powerful punches, the more impactful punches. He neutralized Tank's left hand with his right hand. He used his power hand to offset Tank's power hand. And that's what, in my opinion, won him the fight, but apparently the judges saw it different. I just wanted to bring this up. I thought this was absolutely insane, and this is why boxing has the reputation it has when it comes to the legitimacy of the sport, because a lot of this shit is all just politics. The winner isn't always the winner. And here's the proof in the pudding right here. So in the 9th round, that's when Tank took a knee. Round 9, one judge scored it for Tank. I don't know. I just, that right there, I mean, we need better, because boxing ruined this fight for boxing. But the history of boxing would tell us we're never going to get better. There's always going to be these fights where the big underdog seems to have pulled off a close decision win, maybe split decision win, but he will never get the credit of beating that champion because he didn't do it decisively enough. And so the judges will always find a way to rig the scorecards to make the champion retain his belt one way or the other.
It's a shame, really. And I read that Gervonta was saying he had gotten twisties and got some hair grease in his eye, and that's why he took the knee. And I said, that seems like the dumbest excuse I've ever heard.
Look, okay, that's happened to me before. I get it. That shit does burn. But here's my thing. How come it didn't burn you in any other fight?
He's had the hairstyle the whole time.
That's not the first fight you fought with the braids.
Nah, so I'm not sure. And I watched that 9th round, too. And like when he got that left jab, like he literally looked right at the ref. Like he like almost looked and kind of blinked and then started going down and then ran right to his corner. And I was like, that was weird.
Hey, can you wipe my eye? Yeah.
Right. I was like, what? So, yeah, with the knee.
Honestly,
that should have been a point, man.
I thought it was a perfectly landed jab.
Yes. Clean.
That's what you want.
He is.
I don't know. I guess, you know, we'll never know. We can only speculate.
All right.
But at the end of the day, that was a bitch move.
Bitch move.
It really was. If you really needed it like wiped, if it was really bothering you that much, bro, the round had just ended. You were just in your corner. That 9th round had just begun, damn near. You could have had it wiped then.
Yeah, it stinks. Like it just looked bad. It looked poor. And the fact that he was able to win or, you know, get a draw from that, keep his title, it's like.
See, he should be thanking God he got a draw.
Right. That should have been done, man. Roach had the counter punching all night, just giving him fits. So I'm like, I saw that judge scorecard. I said, wait, what? Like, what were you watching? And it feels like we're always getting back to this same conversation when it comes to these big fights like this. It's just, there's always that one judge that embarrasses the entire sport. Even when it feels like the talent level in boxing should be ushering in some kind of new golden age, but the judging sets it back. It's always 2 steps forward, 3 steps back with the judging.
So, and I'll do you one better.
Yeah.
Two judges scored the 9th round for Tank.
Like,
so only one judge knew what he was seeing, I guess.
Right. Like, what? It was clear as day for, again, a casual even to see. And I go, what are we doing? What are we watching? What are we basing this off of anymore? It's clearly not the same shit we judge things off of in old day boxing.
Right. Yeah.
Tyson days. It's clearly the judging levels and standards have definitely changed and need to change again, because it's making them look foolish.
Honestly, I think judging has always been ass.
Oh, well, that's for damn sure. In any sport, really.
I take it way back to when I think it was Sugar Ray when he fought, what's his name, Marvin Hagler. Mm. In my opinion, I thought Hagler won. That was a close one. I mean, I can go on and on, but I think boxing has always been a corrupted sport when it comes to the judging. And it's just sad that we have these classic fights like Lamont Rhodes versus Tank, and they get ruined because of judging.
It really is a shame, but I totally agree. The sport's been crooked since the 1920s.
Yeah.
Like, it's just how it goes, and you kind of get around it. But, man, like, if you want that to still survive in a day and age when combat sports are bigger than ever, the judging is not helping you to compete at the top levels. There should be no fucking reason why, like, Jake Paul should be pulling in all this money and all these millions of viewers to see his ridiculous amateur ass get knocked out. But y'all ain't paying to see Gervonta. You're just not, unless you're a real fan. So it's a little tough to go back and look at boxing and say, here's what the problem is, when it's been the same problem it's always been. So that shit sucks. But I digress. We can move to other combat sports, the one that's taking up all the time and money right now. UFC 313 coming up this weekend. We got some shot bets we got to put down, of course, and some fights to analyze. Been a couple shakeups on the card, but most of it stayed intact. I want to start with, formerly known as Bobby, King Green versus Mauricio Rufi. And I want to know what you think about how this one's going to go and who your pick is.
Oh, man. I really, really like King Bobby King Green is what I'm going to call him. But I don't think he wins this fight, man. I think he ends up getting finished. What's his name? I don't know his name.
Rufi. Mauricio Rufi.
Roofies. I'm going to call him Roofies.
Roofies. I was trying not Roofies. To call him Roofie. I'm like, I'm hoping it's Ruffy. It's not Roofie. I'm going to call him Roofies. Unfortunate.
Man, Roofies, he's just a, I think he's just a well-balanced fighter, man. He's one of those up-and-coming prospects the UFC is looking to build up. I think he gets the win.
I'm actually going to agree with you on this one. I think Green is a warrior. Green's been doing this for a long time now. I think he's a real test for upcoming lightweights in this division, kind of a gatekeeper, really. My thing is, like, I mean, he's got nasty style, great hands. He's done it. He's got experience. I feel like, honestly, like, Rufus does a lot of what Green already does, but just faster, sharper, and younger. Like, Green's getting up there. So while he has the experience, I actually agree. I think Rufus is going to kind of give Green problems, and I have him as a knockout in the third. That's me.
Late knockout. Okay.
Late knockout. Just because, again, respect for Green as an experienced vet. I think Green is good enough not to get knocked out quickly, but I think he does get caught here.
I think Bobby Green's speed might give Rufus a little bit of trouble in the beginning of the first round, but I think he comes out in the second round after making his reads in the first and knocks him out. Rufus, he damn near is a finishing machine.
Yeah.
He has like fucking, I don't know how many knockouts, like almost 90% of his finishes are by knockout. I mean, wins are by knockout. So, yeah, man, just a bad matchup for Bobby Green.
Seems like it happens a lot to Bobby Green sometimes.
Yeah, unfortunately. Unfortunately, man.
All right. Next up, how do you feel about Amanda Lemos versus Yasmin Lucindo?
You know, the odds makers have Amanda Lemos as an underdog in this fight. And you know what? I like Lemos as an underdog here. I think Lemos gets this win and gets her name right back into that, you know, title contention where she previously was, and she did previously challenge for the title. Give me Lemos. I don't think she gets a finish, but give me Lemos by decision.
That's going to be one of those shows again, I think, man, where we're I think we're aligned on all of it. I bet. We'll see.
Yeah.
I like Lemos as an underdog as well. I like her aggression. She's got a lot of fight, a lot of heart. So
yeah, a lot of speed in them hands.
Exactly. You know, I was somebody who doubted her in the past, and she made me eat my words quite a bit. So she's my age almost. I like that more. I'm rocking with her here. I think the more experienced fighter wins. Not against Lucindo, but yeah, I actually like Lemos as an underdog here. I'm going with her.
Okay.
And I had decision win too, so that's exactly what I had.
Yeah. I think Lemos only gets finished. Well, from what I've seen, Lemos only gets finishes by knockout. And I think what's her name is Lucindo. I think she's good enough not to get finished. So
yeah,
give me a little decision, man.
I like it. I like it. Next up, we got Jalen Turner and Ignacio Bahamondes.
Bahamondes, yes.
It's a great name. Two tall, lanky, lightweights going at it. I mean, I'm somebody who I think I have spoke about Jalen Turner in the past on this show. And for my money, this feels like one of those trap games. The money right now does say Turner. I'm actually leaning towards Bahamondes. Like, Jalen for me is just, he's too wishy-washy with his fights. You never know which one's going to show up, which Jalen's going to show up. And Bahamondes, I think this is a big step up for him in the division. You know, he's actually going for a ranking after being unranked. But honestly, from what I've seen, he looks like the real deal. He's got great finishing style. And with Turner, like I said, with the unpredictability, either way, we've seen Turner knock people out too. So I feel someone is getting knocked the fuck out in this fight. I'm going Bahamondes getting the knockout in the third. Going another late one.
I love that you went there, man, because I completely agree that this fight is going to be a fucking barn burner. Someone's getting knocked the fuck out. I think it's earlier than the third. I think it's probably in the first. Give me Jalen Turner. Okay. But this fight, someone's getting knocked the fuck out. Give me Jalen Turner as the underdog. That's a shot. Let's lock that in.
I like that. Because that one, I was out of the five on the card. That's the one I went back and forth the most. I was like, let's again, on paper, Turner should wipe, I mean, this dude like out. He should be destroyed. But I don't know if we're getting that Jalen Turner. I don't think that Jalen Turner has been around in a while. So because I can't predict it, I'm going to go with somebody who's a little more of an unknown. I like that.
Okay. I'll just go with the dude with the heavier hands.
Dude with the heavier hands. That's totally fair. Talk about heavy hands here. Huh. This next fight is interesting. Rematch from 2 years ago, Justin Gaethje, big fan here, versus Rafael Fiziev. And this fight in 2023, Gaethje kind of beat the brakes off Fiziev. I'm not going to lie. To a decision win. It was 3 rounds of just outclassing him.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't see any reason to believe anything different is going to happen here. And I don't care what you say. I know Gaethje was on the receiving end of the nastiest knockout in UFC history against Holloway. Don't get it twisted. Gaethje is still that motherfucker. And I think with Fiziev, I think it's a perfect bounce back, get right game. I'm going Gaethje. And again, I'm going third round knockout. I feel like we're getting some pacing issues with a lot of these lightweights, these smaller fights. Yeah, we'll see. I don't, you know, I feel like Gaethje is going to figure this one out again. I think last time it was a decision win. I think this time he vindicates himself and gets the knockout.
I have Justin Gaethje as well in this fight. Mm-hmm. Gamrot knocked out Fiziev in his last fight.
Yeah.
I think Gaethje knocks out Fiziev in this fight. I think Fiziev's a good fighter, actually. I just think it's a bad matchup for him. Give me Gaethje.
I'm hoping for a lot of knockouts in this fucking card, man. Oh, my God.
Man, oh, we going to get them. If you look at this fight card, it's a lot of knockout artists.
Yeah. Small, like quick little fucking strikers, man. That's all I'm seeing up and down. And you can count light heavyweight in that one, too, because the main event of this card, the light heavyweight championship, is on the line. Alex Pajeda, you know we revere that man around here, versus Magomed Ankalaev. How do you feel about this title fight, sir?
I think one thing is very important to note. Ankalaev is Muslim, and this is during Ramadan. So he's not going to be, you know, he's fasting. I think that's going to play a big part into this fight and make me more all to believe that Alex Pajeda is going to defend his title once again. Man, he is too filthy on the feet. His speed and power at 205 is just unbearable for anyone fighting him in that division. Ankalaev is as tough as they come. I mean, he, you know, strong hands. He can wrestle, but he just doesn't wow me. There's nothing that amazes me about his game. Give me Alex Pajeda by like round 2 KO.
Yeah, I can feel that too. I know with Ramadan, that's a good point. It's like, what, they can't eat from dusk till dawn or dawn till dusk, I think. So like it's Something like a 12 to 16 hour period they can't eat. My stepfather back in the day was Muslim, so I had to see that in action all the time. So I agree, like he won't be able to eat like he normally does, but at least he'll be able to eat something. You know, there's certain things they can do that are, you know, Ramadan special diets that don't violate certain rules and things like that. But yeah, not being able to consume all the calories and proteins a man needs before fight time, like this caliber, yeah, it's got to weigh heavy. Ankalaev, I know, is going to try and out-wrestle the shit out of Pereira and probably do a lot of attempts, keeping it close, trying to score takedowns. And I can see it being a tough test for Pereira if he can get past that reach, and I don't see it happening. Pereira, honest to God, at this point, he's earned my respect as like a surefire lock-in bet for almost every fight he's in now. I have Pereira going second round knockout. Ankalaev, again, if he can slip past the reach, he's got a chance. If he can get him on the ground, he's got a chance. Pereira's shown, though, like this is probably one of the most well-rounded fighters you're going to see. And even if he gets on the ground, that's a giant you're trying to wrestle down. That's an alligator. So good luck with that. I think Pereira just outclasses Ankalaev here, and we move on from there. And I'm going to bring it up again. I don't know who's going to be able to beat Pereira at this point in this division. It's kind of tough coming up with a new contender every week here because he's running through everybody. I don't see it changing anytime soon.
No, I don't either. This is supposed to be his toughest task.
I just don't see it. I don't stat either. Wise, I don't think he matches. I don't think they match up very well. Pereira's just the hands, man. He's just putting people to sleep.
I don't know, man. I'm looking at the list. I just think this is an easy pick'em for me.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, Ankalaev's at the top, but Rakic, Ullberg, Roundtree, like none of these
Rakic.
Guys. Yeah, like
Rakic. Wait.
That's the Rakic. One who's like maybe
Rakic. Oh no, I think I'm talking about someone else.
Well, Rakic is 14-5. So I mean,
no, yeah, I'm talking about someone else. Never
you mind. Know what though? He's also lost his last three, so fuck it. See, like, that's what I think. It's like no one really stacks up to this guy. He might have to just vacate it. I hate to say it, but shit. I mean, he can try to be the double champ, but fuck, man.
I don't know, man.
See, that's what I'm like. It's just feeling a little Ronda Rousey where you kind of go, is there anybody left for her to even beat?
He'll probably fight. Damn. I wonder who Ullberg fights. Ullberg fights Jan.
Oh, does he? Okay.
Oh, that might be for the belt. Like the winner will fight whoever wins the title.
Yeah, number one contender. I can see it.
Yeah, March 22nd. Okay. I'm excited to see that. Ullberg, for those who don't know, Ullberg trains with Adesanya at City Kickboxing. He's one of his teammates. Powerful striker on the come up.
Yeah, 12-1, 7 wins by knockout, 2 wins by submission, 6 first round finishes. So, shit, there's talent. I'm not saying there's not talent in this fucking division, but yeah, Pereira just sits at the top, just league of his own until further notice.
Absolutely.
We'll see. It's going to be a great show. Looking forward to it. We only have one difference, I think, for our bets. So this is going to be very interesting.
That Jalen Turner fight. I think that's it.
We're either both going to not drink at all or we're both going to drink a lot. This could go horribly.
Man, let me find out just in case you're going to get knocked out again.
Man, I can't handle that. Fuck. Not this year, man. Not this year. Come on, bro.
Not against Fazeev.
No. I'm not ready for that kind of sadness.
Nah.
Good Lord. All right. I promised you all basketball. We're going to get into some basketball. Here we go. We're just under a month away from the beginning of the NBA playoffs. So I feel it's time to ask our resident expert about his thoughts on the final month of the regular season, how the league is going, give us a State of the Union address, and then we'll ask him some questions about the playoffs here. I want to know at least how you're feeling about how the East is shaping up right now.
Currently in the East, we have the Cleveland Cavaliers sitting in first place. I don't know if they won. They're playing the Bulls right now. Don't know if they won or not.
Let's assume they did. It's the Bulls.
Hey, they were struggling earlier. Not going to lie to you. They were down 15 in that game, and I was pissed because I took Cleveland to win this game. And
yeah, it's already over. It Cleveland won 139-117. So I'm not sure what you were worried about.
Oh shit, they covered. They covered. Okay, so Cleveland sits atop of the Eastern Conference.
Eat this man was like, I don't know, they're down 15. Like, it's the Bulls, bro. Like,
oh shit, bro. My bro.
Did you hit? Did you
my
hit?
My parlay is alive.
Hey.
Yo. It was looking bad. I ain't gonna lie to you. But okay, okay. Back. We got to focus here. Focus on task. All right.
But there's money on the line. What's happening? You're
right. We can loop back to those later. All right.
Yes.
Anyway, in the East, you know, we got the Cavs at 1, Celtics 2, Knicks 3. When it comes to those top three teams, I do not believe the Boston Celtics are worse than any of these two teams. I believe the Boston Celtics are better than these two teams, and Boston is still the class of the East. Don't let the standings fool you. And in my opinion, the New York Knicks are an upset alert.
Go Knicks.
I'll get into that in a little bit. We still got the Bucks, Pacers, and the Pistons rounding out the top six, who are guaranteed playoff teams if the season were to end today. The play-in teams in the East really don't fucking matter because they ain't going to be shit and never will be shit, and they probably will get put out in the first round.
How it goes.
I mean, come on now. You got the Bulls, the Hawks, the Magic, and the Heat, who just traded Jimmy Butler.
Wah, wah.
So, in my opinion, the Celtics are still the favorite to win the East. And I don't think anyone is even close. I think top to bottom, they just have the best roster. They force everybody to play perimeter defense because they have nothing but shooters deployed on the court at all times, whether if it's the second unit with Al Horford or Porzingis with that first unit. It doesn't matter who they have on the court. They're going to have shooters there. And that's what's going to give Cleveland problems, the top team in the East right now. The Celtics have the ability to draw Jared Allen out of the paint, regardless of who he's defending. Same thing with Evan Mobley. Those are two really good rim protectors that are going to be drawn out of the paint, giving room for the great isolation players of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum to work. But if you ask me who's a dark horse in the East who can shake up and make some noise, make things very ugly, I'm sorry if I'm being a homer, but it's the Detroit Pistons, man.
Here we go.
And let me tell you why. Did you know since All-Star break, the Detroit Pistons have a top five defensive rating and a top five offensive rating since the All-Star break? In their last 12 games, they're 11-1.
Damn.
So the Pistons are hot. It's all about getting hot at the right time. The Pistons have Cade Cunningham, who, yes, he's an All-Star, but he will be an all-NBA player, and he is a budding superstar in this league. He can create shots for himself. He can create shots for others, and that's what he actually does best, creating shots for others. And he has shown throughout the season that he doesn't have to dominate a game scoring the ball. We can go and win a game. We, as the Detroit Pistons, could go win a game against the Utah Jazz, and Cade Cunningham can coast to a 25 points a game and 9 assists and just sit on the bench, because he knows how to let his teammates work. But he also knows how to take over a game when he has to drop a 30-point triple-double against Trae Young and the Hawks to get a win. So, Cade Cunningham has the ability to turn it on and off. And the team around him, I can argue, is a better supporting cast than a lot of these other teams, like the Milwaukee Bucks, the Indiana Pacers, and even, dare I should say, the New York Knicks, because the Pistons, in my opinion, are a deeper team than the New York Knicks. Not saying that they're a better team, but they're deeper. The New York Knicks are very top-heavy, and I think that's where the weakness lies in the New York Knicks, and that's where the Pistons can expose the New York Knicks, is their lack of depth. What happens when Karl Anthony Towns gets into foul trouble? What happens when Jalen Brunson is getting double-teamed and someone else is forced to hit a jump shot? You know, we're going to find out. I mean, if you double K, we got shooters around. We got Malik Beasley, who's number two, number one in threes made this season. We got Tobias Harris, who's having a resurgence since the All-Star break. I mean, we just got guys and guys and guys who have been starting to emerge. And now we got Dennis Schroeder, the old man, who's starting to come along too with the youngins. So I really like how the Detroit Pistons are looking. And if it's any team in the East that can shake things up, it's the Detroit Pistons.
It's pretty fair. I don't think it's biased of you if it's just facts. That's okay. And I know it's coming from you, and you're wearing a Pistons fucking jacket. But still, facts are facts. Hey,
facts are facts.
My question for you is this, though. Let's say if you're going to say Cleveland and Boston are the top two in the East right now, what is a fatal flaw that each of those teams has that might keep them from actually going all the way this year?
Okay, for sure. Good question. Okay, so Cleveland in the East, sitting at the top. I think their biggest weakness is not really having someone who... Okay, now, all due respect to Donovan Mitchell, all right? Great player, all-star caliber player. But they don't really have anyone that can truly dominate a game. You know, as good as Donovan Mitchell is as a scorer, he's not that great of a playmaker. You know, he can't dominate the game in that way. If Donovan Mitchell's shot is off, then you're going to have to possibly look to someone else to win you the game. Darius Garland, same thing. His shot comes and goes, kind of inconsistent, like today against the Bulls. When I was watching him play, he didn't make any type of impact on the game. They are a very cohesive unit as a team, and they play that way. If you force them to play you one-on-one in the half court, I believe that's where you can have some advantages in the playoffs against this Cleveland team. But then in the East, it's going to be very easy for them to destroy these these fucking maybe first two rounds, depending on where the Celtics end up seeding. But it looks like the first two rounds for the Cavaliers are going to be very easy. Now for the Celtics, it's just health. That's it. Because, you know, Jrue Holiday's been in and out of the lineup. Porzingis has been in and out of the lineup. Jaylen Brown has even missed games here and there. So if they're healthy, no one's touching them in the East.
I like it. I like it. It's very fair. I won't say anything about the Bulls. I won't say anything about the Bucks. The Bucks are hanging in there. Go Knicks.
I'll say something real quick about the Bucks.
Yeah.
Giannis is playing some of the best basketball. No. Giannis is playing the best basketball of his entire career. The way he's been able to hit these mid-range jump shots off the dribble and off the catch at a tremendous rate, efficient rate. I'm highly impressed. But the issue with these Milwaukee Bucks is their depth. They're top heavy, just like the New York Knicks. You know, you got Dame and Giannis, fantastic All-NBA Hall of Fame players, and then Kyle Kuzma.
Like, that's about it.
Yeah. I mean, you got Bobby Portis coming back, but Bobby Portis is actually having a down year. Brooke Lopez is getting up there in age, not the same player, can't move his feet. So it's like the Bucks, they need other dudes to consistently step up, and they're not going to get that consistency with the group they got now.
Which is crazy because they know that they won a championship based off of depth too. They were able to be a deep ass bench during that run. So I'm not sure why they try to get away from that and go the short-term route with the superstars on the starting lineup. Like, they had the winning formula. I know things change and windows close very fast, but that wasn't that long ago. So it just feels like they got away from what got them to the dance in the first place.
Yeah. I think that all changed when they went to go trade for Dame. They lost their depth.
Which was the biggest concern Bucks fans had was, oh, shit, if the starting lineup can't get it, you guys are just out of luck. So,
yeah. And then Chris Middleton's injuries, that didn't help either.
Nope. It fell apart. So they're hanging in there. How do you feel about the Pacers at number five?
The Pacers, they just don't defend well enough for me consistently to say they're going to be a threat in the playoffs. You have to be at least a mid-level type of defensive team to be a champion. That's just been the way it is in the history of basketball. You can't be a bad defensive team and expect to win a championship. I don't know how good the Pacers are defensively, but when I watch them play, they're giving up a lot of points. They're getting to a lot of shootouts. And to me, that's not a good sign going into the playoffs. If they were scoring a ton of points and holding opponents to a low number of points, that'd be a different story. But they're scoring a lot and allowing a lot. That's not a good sign, in my opinion. Still a dangerous team, don't get me wrong, but they just don't defend well enough consistently for me. Pascal Siakam, he's a fucking bucket, though.
Seems like everybody's got some kind of sharpshooter they can rely on, but...
Man, I'm talking about mid-range, spin moves in the post. I'm telling you, you need to watch guys like Pascal Siakam. He's got that old-school game to him. He's someone I tell old-school ballers, if you think the old school game is gone, watch dudes like Pascal.
I was a fan of him in Toronto. Like, he really brought them some juice during their championship run, too.
Man, he do it all, power forward, long, lanky, shoot the midi, post game, three ball, free throws. Man, he got it all.
How do you feel about the West now? We talked about the East. But the West seems like it's going to be a real interesting finish here. How are things going on the West side?
Oh, man. Well, let me tell you this about the West. Just right off the bat, the West is wide open. Not because every team sucks. It's because every team is fucking good.
Right.
Every team is almost equally as good. Hold on. Let me pull up these standings real quick. Boom, boom. All right. Here we go. For example, the Lakers are at number two right now. This is just an example. They have 38 wins at number two.
Right.
The number three team has 39 wins.
Crazy.
So that goes to show you, like, this division, I mean, this conference is tough. The 10th team has 32 wins in the Dallas Mavericks. The wow. 8th team in the LA Clippers has 32 wins. So,
and the 7th.
And the 7th. The 6th and 7th and 5th, they're separated by like one game.
Right. Timberwolves have 33 and they're at 9th. Like, what is happening?
And I say all that to say right now, the Oklahoma City Thunder are the class of the Western Conference, pacing this tough conference at 50 mm-hmm. wins and 11 losses.
Woo!
I don't understand the slander towards Oklahoma City.
I don't get it.
I don't know if people just haven't been watching basketball this year, but Oklahoma City is the best defensive team in basketball. And they also have some dude named Shai Gilgeous-Alexander who should have won MVP last year and will be MVP this year, who averages 32 a game on less than 2 made threes a game.
That's insane.
So they're winning by playing defense and getting high-quality shots, whether they're threes or twos.
Mm.
That's why this team is winning. That's why I think this team is still the favorite to win the West.
Mm.
But this conference is still wide open, and now there's multiple dark horses I'm going to get into.
Yeah.
First team I'm going to get into, the Golden State Warriors. Just when you thought they were dead, they said, oh, not yet. Check this out. Monster Reborn, we bring back Jimmy Butler from the Miami Heat graveyard, and now life points are just going down the drain, with every team they face. Jimmy Butler has fit seamlessly with Steph Curry.
My God.
Imagine going against Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler in a 7-game series in the playoffs. Does not interest me. I don't want any business dealing with that. Someone else can have those problems. Whoever gets that in the first round, the Nuggets, the Lakers, possibly even the Rockets or Grizzlies, depending on where these teams finish up because it's so close. Good luck.
It's not going to happen.
Man. And then another team I want to get into, I just mentioned them, the Houston Rockets.
I'm surprised by them.
And I like them because of one reason and one reason only. I've always said the name of the game is what? Wings. You need wings in today's NBA. The Rockets have like 10 wings that they deploy on a nightly basis, and they're all talented as fuck. They all have skill. They can all switch defensively. They can all, except for Amen Thompson, they all can shoot. But Amen Thompson does so much more on the basketball court that the fact that he can't shoot consistently yet in this stage of his career doesn't even hurt them as a team. They're currently 5th in the West, and they're probably the youngest, if not one of the youngest rosters in the NBA. The only issue with them is they can't win on the road. They're currently on a 7-game or 8-game now road skid after losing tonight in Indiana.
Ouch.
But I will say this, if this team, if they get hot, they match up with anybody in the West and they have the personnel to upset and make any team in the West claw and fight for everything that they get. So the Houston Rockets definitely be on the lookout for them.
I like it. At the top of the West right now, you mentioned OKC and the Los Angeles Lakers. Even though there's a big gap in wins, those are the top two. But I'm going to ask you the same question. What's the fatal flaw for either of those two teams, especially someone like OKC, who's been electric this season?
Yes. OKC, it's easy. It's always been their weakness. Consistency shooting the three-point shot. That's always been their weakness. It still is. Comes and goes. Pause. But they've just been so good defensively that sometimes you don't even notice that deficiency. It's like, yeah, they're not hitting that many threes, but the other team ain't either.
These guys.
You're like, oh, we only hit 8 threes. Well, the other team hit 2, so fuck
right.
them.
Right. Still a win, bitch.
Yeah. So that's really the only thing you can say about the Oklahoma City Thunder. Like, you can't even say what happens if Shea doesn't have it going. Because, oh, Jalen Williams just dropped 40 points the other night. No one ever noticed for some reason. I don't think anyone noticed.
It's business as usual.
Did you know? Did you know?
I didn't know. 40? I didn't know.
Jalen Williams, who you picked on your All-Star team, got 40 points the other night. No one batting an eye.
But there's nothing.
That is my point about this team.
Yeah.
They are fucking scary. And then Shea dropped like damn near 50 yesterday.
Right.
Or some shit like that. So,
oh, hum.
There's that. They don't have that many weaknesses, is what I'm saying.
Mm.
And then when they get Chet playing with Isaiah Hartenstein, oh my Lord, that dynamic duo in the 4-5 spot, Jesus, good luck. Now with the Lakers, it's easy. It's defense.
Mm.
They don't have, also, yeah, they don't have a defensive anchor.
You know it ain't Luka.
I was just going to say, Luka on any team is just going to make you that much worse defensively.
Right.
There were times when they were, actually, they lost to the Utah Jazz because Luka was so bad defensively.
Yes. I saw a lot of those articles after that. Like,
it goes back to what I said. You need to be just mid-tier defensively to be able to compete for a championship. As long as your offense is like astronomical, which it absolutely can be with Luka and LeBron running the show.
Mm-hmm.
But their biggest thing for them is going to be defense. If they get matched up with like the Warriors in the first round, that's going to be a very tough matchup for them. I don't think they come out of that matchup alive.
Damn.
Because offensively, yes, they could probably match the firepower of Golden State. But guess what Draymond Green does? Patrols that defense, anchors that defense. No one's going to do that for the Lakers. Is it going to be LeBron at 40 years old? It shouldn't have to be. But if it's going to be anybody, it's probably going to be him. And until I see him do it at 42, I'm not saying he can't, but I'm just trying to be realistic here. I don't think anyone's going to do that for him. And I think that's going to be the biggest pitfall.
Right. Damn. I didn't even understand. I saw they lost to the Jazz. I didn't realize the Jazz were 15-46.
Yeah.
Wowzers.
Yeah. No. Look, the Jazz are so bad. They had, they had those top 10 plays.
Yes.
Tell me why the Pistons had 4 top 10 plays and they were all against the Jazz from last night. That's how bad the Jazz are. And the Lakers lost to them.
I feel like I need to go back in our notes for when we started our NBA preview of the season. I feel like I had the Jazz as like almost a playoff team. And now I'm terrified of how wrong I was. I could be wrong. I could be mixing up with last year. But there's a part of me that goes, did I say the Jazz were a playoff team this year and sneaky? Oh, God. So I'm going to go back. Kalina, I need that stat right about now, please.
You didn't pick the Jazz to make the playoffs, so you're safe there. However, you did say the Orlando Magic and Miami Heat would both make it. And those guys are making you look rather foolish.
Oh, God. There's a couple more teams I want to ask you about in the West just to get your thoughts.
Sure.
At 38-23, how do you feel about Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies? Do they have a shot?
Man, I don't like what I've been seeing from the Memphis Grizzlies as of late. They just don't – they don't ever look like the same team to me. Some nights they look like – they're the, you know, that grit and grind Memphis Grizzlies, you know, John Morant's running the show, Jaren Jackson over here doing his thing. Some nights it's like, why is Desmond Bane your best player? And they end up losing. I don't know what I'm getting from the Memphis Grizzlies. And that's why I think they're on upset alert in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
The playoffs were to end today, 4 would play 5. They would play the Rockets, and I would pick the Rockets to win that series rather quickly. I would pick the Rockets to win that series probably in 5 games.
Damn, this is mercy killing, huh?
Man, they're gonna give the Grizzlies some issues with the amount of wings that the Rockets deploy around Sengun and Jalen Green or Fred VanVleet, the old crafty veteran.
Yeah,
Man, I think they're just gonna give the Grizzlies a ton of issues. Cause see, like the Grizzlies, they do a good job defensively, especially, you know, in the paint with Jaren Jackson blocking shots and things like that. But they don't have the same defensive firepower on the wings as the Houston Rockets. They don't have that defensive firepower to match the offensive firepower of the Houston Rockets wings. So that's where they're gonna have issues. But
Fair enough.
still a dangerous team. I just haven't liked what I've been seeing from Ja Morant,
It's a
I'll be
shame.
honest.
Big fan of Morant.
Me too. I just don't see the same, you know, 25, 26 point per game score, Ja Morant.
Yeah, that put a wrench in things. But speaking of superstars, is another one. Just on the outside looking in a little bit here. 34-29, remember last year's playoff surprise. The Minnesota Timberwolves, how do you feel they end up in this postseason if they even get there?
Oh man, it's gonna be tough sledding for them. They fucked up when they traded Karl-Anthony Towns. Julius Randle is not a good fit for Anthony Edwards. I don't know who made this decision. They probably don't watch a lick of basketball because if you know Anthony Edwards, he's a gunner. What that means is he's going to score at will at by any means necessary. You need a big man that can stretch out to the 3-point line, give Ant space to work with on isolations, things like that. Things that Karl-Anthony Towns can actually do. Things that you see Naz Reid doing right now. Naz Reid is looking better than Julius Randle. All you actually had to do, Minnesota, was start Naz Reid with Karl-Anthony Towns alongside Anthony Edwards, and you would have been fine. You probably would have been number two or number one in the West right now if that would have happened. And what if you would have gotten rid of Rudy Gobert? Oh my goodness. But you chose to get rid of Karl-Anthony Towns. The Minnesota Timberwolves are no longer a threat because of that. And Anthony Edwards is he needs some help. Because he with the roster they got right now, yeah, he might miss the playoffs or be first round knockouts for the next couple of years.
Damn, there was a prize last year, but wow, feels like the fall off came real quick.
Yeah, they got too cute, man. Like what you be saying, they got too cute and try to trade for Julius Randle. They trade a cat.
They never get too cute. It's always the golden rule, people. Speaking of getting cute, one more team I want you just to give us an update for those of our fans living under a rock, just give them a quick update because more shit has happened to the cursed franchise, the Dallas Mavericks. Please enlighten our fans of what is happening to Mavs fans worldwide. We have to talk about it for a second.
So, for those of you who have been living under a rock, let me run you through a series of events that's been going on for the Dallas Mavericks as of late. So, January 14th, Derek Lively suffers an ankle stress fracture. February 1st, drops the hammer, Mavs trade Luka Doncic.
Dumbasses.
February 10th, Daniel Gafford sprains his MCL. February 8th, Anthony Davis debuts as a Maverick and immediately strains his adductor.
Oh.
And then yesterday night, Kyrie Irving tears his ACL, playing hard as fuck for another poverty franchise who does not deserve his services. This franchise, they did it onto themselves, and their players
Right?
are the ones paying for it. Their fans are the ones paying for it. I hope things get better soon with the Mavericks, but the Mavericks organization deserves this. This is what you get when you trade your 25-year-old superstar Hall of Famer in Luka Doncic to the Los Angeles Lakers for one fucking first round pick in 2029 and an injury-riddled Anthony Davis. But wait, didn't you trade Luka because you were afraid he's going to miss games because of him being out of shape? Now look at all your players missing games because of injuries.
Oh.
Actual injuries, you know, not being not playing because he's just fat. Fat, but averaging 38, 8-8.
Right.
Yeah. So the Mavericks essentially have cursed themselves, and I don't see them getting out of this anytime soon. Because if you think about it, Kyrie's going to be out for a whole entire year. So he's going to be out till next March, April. The season's probably going to be done by then. So he's going to be out damn near a whole season. He probably won't play until the following season. So it's like,
Right.
fuck.
Brutal.
There's your 2 years right there. Now when he comes back, you have to win the chip.
And they won't.
Think about it. Because, like, your players are getting up there in age, and, like, what are you going to do? You're going to re-sign Kyrie, who's coming off an injury, who's aging as well. What if he doesn't even want to play for you because your team's so ass by then?
That's a fair question, though. Like,
yeah, so it's like,
this is devastating, man, for them.
The Mavs are in shambles, and
yeah,
it's actually quite hilarious that the organization is in shambles. It sucks for the players, like Kyrie Irving.
Right.
Sucks for them. But the organization, they deserve that.
Fire everyone in that front office, I swear. I saw that Kyrie news you sent me, and I said, I just couldn't stop laughing. It's not even about him. That's just like, again, that's the fuck around, and this is the finding out. You're seeing it in real time, folks.
Oh, they finding out.
I'm a firm believer in that. Oh, man. Couldn't happen to a better franchise. Like I said, no love lost for Dallas. I used to hate those motherfuckers. So whatever. I want to see Kyrie, but fuck, man. You couldn't write a better story. This is just literally an implosion of an organization. And I'm over here like rooting for poverty franchises. I have no room to talk. And this shit's still hilarious. This is malpractice at this point. Fire everyone in that front office. My God. My goodness. All right. That's enough of that shit. Show is almost over. You know what that means. It is a 2-minute drill. Hit it.
All right, man. So for the 2-minute drill, I was actually going to get into some football and trying to get into some things like that.
Okay.
But you know what? Let's do that. Let's get into some football.
All right.
I want to talk about the Cincinnati Bengals real quick because they had just franchise tag superstar wide receiver T. Higgins
again.
In my opinion, this is fucking disrespectful because when the man was on the field, the man was him next to another man who was also him who led the league in receiving. T. Higgins earned his money. If you're not going to pay him, let him go somewhere else and earn that money. Mm. Speaking of wide receivers who are going to be going somewhere else, Davante Adams just got cut by the New York Jets. Yeah, we need to erase the tapes of me saying the Jets were going to be in the Super Bowl and all that. Just cut all them bitches out. Just forget all that, all right? Now, moving on to a wide receiver who actually found himself a new home. Deebo Samuel ended up in Washington as a Commander for a 5th-round pick. Mm-hmm. So he's going to join forces with Jaden Daniels and Scary Terry and those two running backs. I think that's a fantastic look.
Love it.
This is the big physical receiver Terry McLaurin needed beside him to you know, take some coverage off him to see some one-on-one covers, hopefully. So Jaden Daniels over there, you know, rubbing his hands like Birdman and shit. But, you know, it's an exciting time for football. You know, combine just finished up. Got the draft coming. Off-season shit going on. So, man, hopefully we got some more football stuff coming up.
Oh, yeah, baby. It's my favorite times that after the off-season, Bears are always off-season champions anyway, but then we put anything on the field, it's never good. But this is that time of year where the Bears fans probably get the most excited because all the potential is there with the draft, the combine, everything included. Free agency period, all the shit. So, like, I'm feeling a little more renewed these days than I did just a couple months ago. I didn't even want to watch my team. Ben Johnson does a lot of that for us. But, you know, I won't rub that in your face. I did enough of that for weeks and weeks. Still happy over here with Ben Johnson. But, again, I will reserve my judgment until the Bears actually do something with that offensive line. We got Jonah Jackson today, or at least started the agreement with him for a 6th-rounder. If he's healthy, it's a good pickup. If not,
no,
low risk.
You know, he played under Ben Johnson in Detroit.
Exactly.
He knows the offense. He's a good lineman, too. So
he was a Pro Bowler just a few years ago. So, I mean, yeah. A 6th-rounder for a potential Pro Bowler again, I'll take it. Whatever helps us. But
yeah.
We'll see. I'm reserving judgment. That's why I'm just sitting on my hands and keeping quiet. But what these people shouldn't do is sit on their hands and keep themselves quiet. What they should do with those hands is click play and subscribe and follow and like and love on all of our social media. That's at the Bank Bro Show on YouTube, Facebook, Red Note, and TikTok, our beloved TikTok. for the ticks of the week. I'm going to put them on TikTok as well. We're going to highlight these people, some of these young creators, and see if we can get some more traction for them. Maybe we can get them on the show. We'll see. Hey. Whatever openings we can make from that, getting these people out there, because what y'all need, of course, is more TikTok coverage, clearly, and the Bank Bros are going to be right there with you. So make sure you see all of our spicy new content that's coming your way. Again, this man's been in the lab like a psychopath trying to crank out these videos for y'all. So make sure you keep engaging with them. We want to engage with y'all. We want to hear what you got to say, all your opinions, good or bad. We don't care. Bring them on, baby. Let us know what we can do better. Let us know what we can talk about, what you want to hear on the show, and we will do it for you. Speaking of that, make sure you come back next week because we're going to probably release our two-year episode. We started this 2 years ago. I kind of lost the original date because the first six episodes had to get fixed and then re-added. So I don't know when we actually started this, but I'm sure we're at 2 years now. So come back next week, see the two-year anniversary. It's going to be a very special one. I'm not going to say what it is because it's going to be lit. But don't miss out, folks. Come and see us. You know why that is? This guy knows why it is. She knows why it is. And I know why that is. It's because the Bank Bros are in your city, here for you, as we always are. And you can bank on that. Peace out, y'all. Have a good night. Kalina, take us out of here.
Where we're headed, no one knows. But if you need some friends, rely on the Bank Bros.